Grace and peace to you in our God, who is faithful and just, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. And before I begin, I want to credit that this is adapted from a sermon offered by my colleague, Pastor Katie Hines Shaw in Illinois. She shared this and said, use as you will. So I rewrote it for our context, but I want to credit Pastor Katie. Widows come up a lot in the Bible. They are in the Pentateuch and in the Psalms, in the histories and books of the prophets, in the Gospel and Acts, the epistles, even Revelation mentions them. Often widows are coupled with orphans in these texts, because these were the people who occupy the same place in the ancient social sphere. They are the poorest of the poor. In a patriarchal society without a man to protect or provide for them, widows were reliant on the social safety nets of their age, gifts from extended family, or the charity provided by the religious community. While some families and some religious communities were undoubtedly generous, in many cases then, as now, people fell through the cracks. A widow might find herself homeless or destitute, forced to beg to make her way. It wasn't a good or easy life. This is especially galling because in many cases, widows did so much to care for their families, their societies, and their religious communities. Widows in the Bible take care of children and other family members. They make clothing for the poor. They see to the upkeep of the temple. The world hasn't changed so much. I think about all those who are the underappreciated and underpaid backbones of our society. Immigrants and migrants who work in farms and factories. Women who care for family, run the PTO, and make the quilts. Social workers, teachers, nursing aides, and first responders. Those who aren't paid a lot to do the work with the most at-risk people. These people, like the widows, are indispensable, and yet they are not always rewarded. Even worse, they are always asked to do more. It's galling, and it is the setup for our readings today. The widow at Zarephath is caring for a son, and they have fallen through the social safety net. With a famine in the land, no one has given her anything. She is gathering sticks, preparing to make one last meal. When our story opens, the Lord has sent the prophet Elijah to command that she feed him too. In the gospel reading, Jesus and the disciples are in the temple. Many people are coming to the treasury to give their offerings. Some of them undoubtedly are scribes in long robes donating large sums. Yet Jesus calls the disciples' attention to an unlikely one, a widow who, in donating two small coins, gives everything she has. Friends, I hear in the widow's stories your stories. How you were already working full-time and taking care of children when your parents started needing your help. You sit on committees at church and in the community to see that people get fed. Groceries are expensive, but you know the food bank shelves are low. You are already purchasing coats for newcomers at the border, and then it's time again for the Christmas angel tree. Times are uncertain, but you make a financial commitment to the congregation you love, knowing the ministry we do here is important to you and important in our community. Being asked to do one more thing. Sometimes it seems like too much, and yet the widow steps up, and you do too. The widows in our readings follow God's calling. She takes the prophet home to share her oil and flour, even though it's only enough for one meal. She gives to the temple all she has to live on, even though it's only 2 coins worth less than a penny. It seems like that little bit won't be enough. In the wake of the world's need, it doesn't seem we have enough to give. We feel stretched so thin. I think it's useful to acknowledge here that God is God, and we are not, and it is not up to us. Lutheran theologian Nadia Boltz-Weber compares being human to being an overloaded fuse box. You simply can't run the hairdryer and the toaster at the same time. And that's okay. She goes on to say that when the world is on fire and we only have 1 bucket of water, it is important and life-giving to focus on 1 priority. We can do this knowing that there are others out there with other buckets of water. There are other people with different callings. One person cares for newcomers, for refugees. Another for needy school children. One cares for the environment, and still another works to prevent gun violence. One supports unwed mothers, another homeless people. We each have a passion, we each have a call, and it works because we each do our part. Sometimes it's all we can do to take care of ourselves and those closest to us, and that's okay too. Nadia Boltz-Weber says that almost anything will work again if you unplug it for 10 minutes. Sometimes we simply have to unplug for a few minutes, or weeks, or months. But always remember, there is something wonderful about serving others that fills us up in ways we may not anticipate or imagine. There is something wonderful about giving generously to support what we love. This is true in our readings, or at least it can be. The widow of Zarephath may only have a little oil and a little meal, but somehow, when she shares it with Elijah, it is enough. Not just for one day, but for all the days until the famine is over. You already know this. I have seen it. I have heard your stories. You serve your community in countless ways. You have taught children and nursed the sick. You work to make systems in the world work better for everyone. You have walked in the hunger walk and delivered meals to Family Promise. You provide hospitality again and again. They don't say it to you, but a number of pastors came up to me yesterday when we hosted Lutheran Advocacy Ministry and said, "You all are the hospitality church, aren't you?" I love that. And it's not me, it's you all. You have a fixed income, but you give generously to your church. It isn't exciting to make a predictable pledge, but it makes you feel good being part of something bigger than yourself. You are busy, but you make time to drive a friend to the doctor, and somehow you feel more energized after than before. These are true of you. And they are all small miracles, like a jar of oil lasting through the famine. The Bible readings and our own stories remind us God knows what God is doing when God sends the needy our way. There will be enough for us. There will be enough for others if we open our hearts, if we listen, if we share. Jesus gave all he had, his one small life, but through it, he saved the world. God gives us everything we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, our legacy, our very lives. Sometimes what we have seems small in comparison to what we need. Sometimes what we have seems small in the face of the world's sorrow and need. And yet, these little things we have and do when blessed by God, this one life, this little faith, this small hope, These things are enough and more than enough. We don't have to save the world. Jesus already did that. Jesus already won the battle against sin, death, and the devil. We simply need to follow the example of the widows, to trust in God, to share, and to expect a miracle. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.